Blog Talk Radio.
Quarantine Mania, Chef Eduardo. Thanks for tuning in today. Wow. Well, a week that just keeps starting every day. It's just like, what's new? It's like the cycle of life is like, how do I say it? It's just like accelerating. It's so much. I mean, if you think about it for a second, I mean, just really think about it. Today is, when you think about this, it's July 13th. Just about halfway point to the month of July. Pretty much five months in quarantine at this point. And every day it's a little bit crazier. And unfortunately, today I was looking at, our shows and thinking today is show 137 during the pandemic. 137 shows. And if you never listen to them, and you've binged everything else, I encourage you to go to Blog Talk Radio, Chef Eduardo, Foodomania, and give it a listen to some of the shows, especially if you go back to the first shows, the first couple of days when things were just getting started again. You know, I've been doing Foodomania for almost 8 years, but prior to the pandemic, I was taking the year, pretty much the year off, and just occasionally doing a live show and just plugging in the pre-recorded shows. I wasn't doing a lot of live shows. I continued to do shows. But I did most of them like early part of the week, and they only aired every day, every week on Saturday in the daytime in the morning, and then repeated at night. So it aired, I think it aired at 8 o'clock Saturday morning and then 11 o'clock on Saturday night. But since the pandemic started, I got myself back into a regular routine. And at first I was going to do shows once a week or maybe twice a week. I've been doing shows 7 days a week now. I've taken a couple of days off here and there, and I did that because mainly I just needed to get away from everything for a while, because when I say get away from everything, I needed to just take a little break from production and everything. I've spent, I would say, 50 to 60% of the time since the pandemic started in the studio, working on several different projects. Some new ones, but a lot of stuff that I've been working on over the last year or two, including two short films that I'm really excited about, and they're getting close. Did a bunch of computer and software switching around, upgrading. Really excited about some of the changes. One of the best changes, anybody that knows me knows that I've been recording and playing music officially since about 1963. And for those of you who are interested, in a couple more weeks, I think it's 3.5 weeks, I'm going to turn 70 years old. 70. Holy schmoly. So I've been playing music since, you know, officially in bands since I was about 11 and a half to 12, kind of messing around with it. But it wasn't until right after my 13th birthday when during that period of time I got myself a hernia from lifting up one of my cousins. I remember how when I got it, and I ended up in the hospital for the first time really since I was born, I think. And during that period of time, I had a roommate, and he was an elderly gentleman and very beautiful guy. But he was a banker, and during the giveaways of the bank, you know, in promotions, they used to give away different things. Like I remember this when I was a little kid, you open up a new account, you can get a cookware package, or you can get this. Well, this week specifically, it was they were giving away these beautiful sort of scales, like bathroom scales, and you know, in the old days, talking about 1963 or 2 or 1, somewhere in that area, you know, everything was heavier and bulkier and bigger. They didn't have things made out of fine aluminum and light metal. Everything was heavy. And this scale, evidently, he was about to give one to a customer, and I guess somebody had opened the box, unbeknownst to him, and the scale slipped out and hit him right on the foot. Ended up just about amputating his toe. And they hospitalized this guy, and they were trying to see if they could save it. And I remember I got checked in, I got into the room, and literally within the first 24 hours, you know, just a nice guy. I think they must have had him on some kind of a ice or something to numb his leg, because I can't imagine how much that must have hurt. You know, if you cut a toenail too short and, you know, you hit the cuticle, you're going to have pain, you know, for days and days, and it's going to hurt. But let me tell you, it's nothing compared to what this poor guy probably went through with his pain. But during the course of that first day, got into talking a little bit. I think he was a little lonely, and I was totally terrified. He gave me some ideas of what was going to happen. He told me that within a couple hours, they're going to come in and they're going to shave me. And I go, shave me? Why? He goes, not up there, silly. They're going to shave, you know. Anyway, that was a crazy experience. And this is many, many years before Brazilian, whatever they call it, waxing or something. Anyway, but during the course of this couple of days after that, next day I had a hernia operation. It was crazy. The worst part about it was that you couldn't, you felt okay, but now I want you just for a second to do an experiment. Sit there where you're sitting and put your hand kind of on your, let's see, don't put it exactly, but, you know, put it down like sort of in your groin area, and I want you to cough. Just do a little. Now, you see how everything, every time you cough, everything moves right in that little area? Well, that was the thing. If you coughed connected to maybe laughing or you overreacted so much where you would pull those muscles, God forbid if you sneezed, you would have been in big trouble. But anyway, long story short, he was giving me all these pointers, and he said, one of them, he says, what do you do, Stuart? What do you do? I said, well, I just, you know, go to school. Do you like sports? I said, well, I really don't like sports, son. I play music a little bit. I'm learning how to play guitar and piano. I had piano, so I just really like music. I think maybe I want to do some music. He goes, what instrument? I said, well, I really like the drums. He goes, really? And he's saying, yeah, I used to be a drummer, blah, 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 blah. Within a day or two, I was in the hospital, I think, for 3 days. And the second day, his wife would come and visit him every day and bring him a lunch. So one day she came in, and hi, Stuarto, how you know, Marty's name was, and I still remember that. Now, I imagine if Marty was still alive, he would be about 150 right now or something. But he said, to his wife, and I don't remember her name, but he said, did you bring the little bag to Stuarto? And she goes, I sure did. And it ends up, it's kind of like a canvas green sort of old yurt sack, I think they call it, you know, an old-fashioned backpack, really old-fashioned. And in that backpack, he put it over on my bed and said, go ahead. And I couldn't really move too much, but I grabbed the backpack and I unbuttoned it. There were no zippers, I remember. And I looked inside, and all of a sudden I said, oh, my God. It was a white mother-of-pearl marching snare drum with a set of sticks and a harness so you can kind of put it around your neck. Well, I have to tell you, to this day, I think about, you know, how music changed for me in so many ways. That was the moment. Get a hernia, get your you-know-what shaven, befriend a phenomenal guy who dropped a bathroom scale on his foot, and one thing leads to another, and next thing you know, you have snare drum. And that was kind of the official beginning of music for me, the beginning of everything. And the reason I brought this story up is I was just talking about during the course of the last, you know, few months, I've sort of went through a lot of my tapes and a lot of things that I've had, you know, stuff that's already been sort of done and put away in the drawer, to realize how many songs and how many pieces of music I've recorded since I was a little kid. And I have pretty much mostly everything, except for the first, well, there's a couple of periods of time I didn't. Different things happened in life, and I wasn't able to take advantage of getting certain equipment in my hands at the right time. But one thing led to another, and it brought me to this incredible day where I don't have a snare drum anymore, but I still have my first bass, and I still have no real drums anymore. Well, no, that's not true. I have two drum sets, but I don't have any of my original drums. And that's a whole other show to tell you why, what happened to my original drums when I finally did get my own set. But anyway, we're going to stay positive and happy today and not go back into that world. But it's an interesting story, and I'll talk to you about it sometime. Anyway, long story short, and even shorter, I've been spending a whole bunch of time during this period of time working on stuff, only to realize that, you know, if you've listened to the shows, I get into usually at the late shows is when I kind of sum it all up, because maybe I've done an overview of an hour or two before show, maybe after dinner. I'm on a special eating thing right now where I'm selectively fasting. I only eat between 2 and 8 o'clock every day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 o'clock at night, and I can have a certain amount of pretty much healthy stuff that I want, but I can't eat before and I can't eat after. Now, I've been on this thing for 1 week, well, actually about 10 days, and I gave, during this hibernation, good old Stuarto. I remember the first month or so, I did a lot of cooking, a lot of stuff. And by the way, for the most part, cooking by myself, because I've been isolated from my good significant other, who's at her house, not too far away. But based on her work situation and certain situations, we decided we need to stay apart, unfortunately. We have seen each other, though, and from a distance. But she simultaneously ended up on a different kind of a diet a couple of weeks before I started mine. And in those couple of weeks, well, actually almost 4 weeks, I was cooking such great stuff. And normally I would think I would just drop. I would bundle up, put the masks on and gloves and sneak out and drop some stuff out on a porch that I knew was safe. But unfortunately, no way to do that because they weren't eating in that household. So good old Stuarto ended up polishing off a lot of stuff. I have a whole series of videos I've made of some of the incredible things I've cooked. Now, as a chef and being off from work, you know, I had to keep in practice. But I'm on this fast right now. I gained a total of, since the pandemic started, about 27 pounds I gained. 27, that's a lot. I'm very happy to announce that as of today, I've lost half of that weight. So I got about 14 to 15 pounds to go. And I figure within another 2 to 3 weeks, I should be right where, actually better than I was before. You have to stay active. Started riding the normal bicycle about 4 or 5 days ago. I'm doing that for an hour every day. Hadn't walked that much. I'm taking the dogs who are at a friend's right now for regular walks a couple of times a week. And mostly the rest of the time I'm sitting in the studio, either standing or sitting or talking or playing music or overdubbing or editing. And one of the things that I'm really excited about is I got this story going for one thing. When I said that there have been some changes at the studio, one of the great changes is that I've updated some of the computers and, you know, just rearranged some things and did some sound tests. Really, actually, finally finished a lot of the, you know, hookups of certain things so I can do it. But in the middle of that, I finally switched a main digital audio workstation program. I started out with this program, and then I left it after a couple of years. I started out with it in about 2004, I think. Yeah, 2004, I started using the one program. I started with Logic. It's a recording program. I switched to Logic. I went to a digital performer program because I had a friend that was really being a project with me. He had a studio and liked that program, so he got me started on it, which I completely loved. It's a really good program. But what happened was I switched, canceled out a lot of my work because I lost files, and then things froze, and then one of the computers died. So I lost, I would say, about 50% of the overdubs and things on an album I've been working on with Rhonda E. Actually, it'll be about 6 years now. But over the last couple of months, and actually before this, I started cleaning, you know, refinishing the tracks, and I've been mixing that, and that's pretty much just about ready to go. And this week I'll be mastering the CD that we actually started our first recording date on. That was 2011. And now it's almost 9 years altogether. 9 years, it's hard to imagine. We recorded about 43 songs. We stopped recording any new material about 3.5 to 4 years ago. And everything's just been sitting there. But I have to tell you, we worked on it for a couple of years. It's just some really great, great pieces of music. But now, because when I told you I was starting to play music and stuff when I was very young, of course, when the Beatles came out, that was it for me. And it really influenced me to try to play, get together in a couple of bands, which I did, and eventually opening up my first recording studio in San Francisco in about 1975, I think, or 74, 75, somewhere in that area. And just, you know, from those days, I've always had a studio. And many years ago, I had the decision to pretty much just make my studio my personal studio and quit trying to do it for a living and just do my chefing and cooking and all that and restaurateuring. And then my hobby and my, more than a hobby, but my other ambitions would be in the studio. And last week, we converted to a brand new program, which was just stupendous, especially for any artist that I decide to be mastering or producing. For me, it's just much easier and much complicated program, but the way to do it is a lot easier. You know, it's like something, if you're a carpenter and you find a certain hammer and that you really like to use, and use it, excuse me, and eventually maybe you'll switch hammers and you realize, oh my God, why didn't I do that a long time ago? I do such better work now, you know? Well, it's the same thing with me. My workflow is so much easier and better, especially when I'm working on 3 to 4 or 5 songs at once. And then I'm also maybe working on 1 or 2 video projects at the same time. Luckily, the way the studio's here set up is that there's several different rooms and everything is connected. Each studio room has a system that's connected to the main control room. So what it allows me to do is if I'm working on one project, I can go into another room, work on another one. And then if I'm in that room and I get an idea, I can pick up an instrument and from that other room, record it to the other computer. It's pretty cool. So what we did is we bit the bullet, so to speak, and we switched over to, I decided, you know what, instead of paying somebody else to do the mastering, which is when you finish a project and you do a lot of overdubs and that sort of thing, and you make what's called the final mix, where all the instruments, the right levels, the vocals, all the parts are beautiful, all for a 5-minute song. But then when you decide you're going to reproduce it and put it out on the market, you have to do something called mastering. So that takes the final mix, usually a stereo mix, and it puts it through a whole bunch of electronic gear and then filters it and plays with it and separates it and just gives it a final stamp. It might take a beautiful sounding track and make it even 200% bigger and brighter and clearer. And there's different companies that do that. It's usually about $70 to $80 a track. So if you do a 12 to 15 track album, mastering is about $700 to finish your project before you send it out to pressing. But the difference between getting a good mastering done and just releasing it on your own is like night and day. Even stuff that isn't that great sounds like a record. So we decided to invest into the studio that I just, you know, have dreamt about being in forever, and really it's a big game changer on so many levels. The engineers that work there, the different people that still work there, people who have left there and opened up other studios in different parts of the world, and they have certain equipment there that, which is really amazing, that the EMI engineers, when you had a studio with EMI company in Europe, an engineer was working on a certain project and he needed, they'd say something, well, you know, we have to take that signal and we have to compress it a little bit, but we don't really have something like that. They not only had the studios and the instruments and the recording equipment, but they also had a whole department for research and development where they'd actually invent items and gadgets and different things to be able to improve sound. And over the years, they've been classic sounds. And the Beatles had a lot to do with the fact that when George Martin, the producer, and the Beatles, and somebody like Jeff Emmerich, as just one of the many engineers during that period of time, got together, they, over a period of time, they, because it was such a beautiful amount of talent that these engineers and producers had to work with, naming the Beatles, that they started working and using equipment that they thought about in different ways that they never used it before. Hence, if you listen to any Beatle album, even from the earliest days to the present, quality and the sound, just, it's not like just listening to a song, it's like watching a movie with your ears, you know. Anyway, we've invested in the audio system that is the same one that's at Abbey Road, and I'm happy to say that 1020 Radio now is fully Neve, console, all the mastering gear, everything that we ever thought we'd ever want. I started using it in experimental mode just a few days ago. I decided to pull out a song and just see what this new stuff will do to it. And it's like as good and hard as we worked on that song. It's probably that specific tune has a good 60 hours in it. You know, because remember, I'm playing all the instruments. I'm doing all the vocals. I'm doing all the engineering. I'm doing it all myself. Occasionally, I bring somebody else in. But on this specific project I've been working on, this is the first time I've actually taken the vocals and done the vocals myself. Anyway, I'm very excited about it. I'm really excited to show you via the show and be able to talk about it and play you some examples. And I'm actually going to have a special guest within a couple of days. I'll announce it. A producer who I worked with since we were young kids, Mr. Ken Fink. He is just an amazing, amazing guy. He's the owner and executive director of Deep Space Records out of California. And he will join me on the show later in the week to be able to talk about regular engineering and how to make your own recordings and what you can do. We're going to dedicate a couple of the shows this week to you, the musicians who tune into my show, to give you guys some pointers and some help and actually provide a couple of surprise things. In other words, free studio time. Because we've got this new mastering system, we're looking for about 15 or 20 songs that we can actually help you master. And I'm willing to give you the service for absolutely for free and see if I can put some magic into your projects. So lots of stuff to look forward to. Hopefully you will take advantage of that. I will give you more information as time flows by. We are going to be live twice a day, every day this week, right through Sunday. So hang in with us. We'll be broadcasting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we'll be back on at 11 o'clock at night. That's right, 11 o'clock at night. Those of you who are up, it's a night show. 11 o'clock is the time that we'll be broadcasting from Studio A at 1020. Right now we're in Studio B, which is where most of the time we do our radio shows and our interviews. I have lots of updates on really important information in relationship to what's going on in our community, and I will update everybody at 11 tonight on the show. Right now, I just want to say wear your mask, socially distance, ignore the bull crap, don't pick any fights with people. If somebody is not wearing a mask and you're uncomfortable, you can say something, but it might be sometimes better to pull back, let that person do their thing, and then you can go enter the business. That doesn't help you at all, considering you might have some kind of contamination. But folks, we got to work together. And I think the less energy we put into people who are just going to ignore the facts, ignore the medical direction, ignore the spiritual direction, what are you going to do? You're going to spend all our time trying to convert these people? It's not going to happen. So you take the steps into your own hands and protect yourself, your loved ones, and your coworkers and your family by doing the right thing. You know, look what's happened. We can't even begin to talk about it right now, but we're going to be positive for the rest of the show. We're going to go in a couple of seconds. I'm really happy you tuned in. If you need to get in touch with me, just right, and it's Chef Stuardo. That's C-H-E, S as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. Okay, tomorrow's another day. Today's another day. I'll talk to everybody tomorrow. But I'll also talk to you tonight at 11. Check Facebook for the times for latest shows in the week. All right, everybody. Take it easy. Stuardo, see you at 11 o'clock tonight.